now this morning, joined in studio by Sharon Cahir from Cahir and Company Solicitor. Sharon, good morning to you.
Good morning, Pat. How are you?
Good to talk. Catch your breath. How are you keeping?
Great, thank you.
Very good. We're going to talk today, Sharon, about the whole thing of ageing and the law, and we have an ageing population and all of that. What are we going to discuss particularly?
Well, I think, I mean, Brendan Courtney, in fairness, all over the weekend in the media and this morning on Radio 1, he's really highlighting one of the areas that, you know, should be discussed more. Now, I like his approach to the topic of talking about the Fair Deal scheme. It's the only scheme in town in relation to getting financial assistance towards your care. And I love that he's embracing it to say the government should start conversations in relation to using that scheme, but in allowing people to be minded at home. Now, that's only one of the areas, but it does bring us to think about, are we an ageing population? If we are we talking about it policy-wise? And equally so in the law, what are the areas that impact you as you get older? And should there be more education around them? And that's why this morning, perhaps just shooting the breeze on some of them.
What's Brendan Courtney's particular issue? So I wasn't aware of this, to be honest, Sharon. What's Brendan Courtney's issue?
Well, you'll remember a couple of years ago, he had a documentary in relation to his dad. And his dad had had a number of strokes, and they found themselves in a situation where they would have preferred to keep him at home, but he ended up going into a nursing home, and they used the Fair Deal scheme. So at that point, he would say that he used that documentary, despite the fact that it was invasive in some ways, you know, to a very private man. His dad agreed that it could be covered, such that, I suppose, they were highlighting that as you get older, you may have care needs. You may have 24/7 care needs, and that people would prefer to be at home. We know that that's the primary wish of everybody. If we want to be cared for at home, how can we afford it? Do we have enough to afford it? And the government has the Fair Deal scheme. But it's a scheme that funds are made available based on the assets you have at the time you have a long-term care need. In that situation, you can only use the funds the government might contribute towards you. And as I say, it's means tested. That's the easiest way to explain it to your listeners, is that it can only be used towards nursing homes and your care there. Now that Brendan Courtney's mom now has cognitive issues and she needs 24/7 care, he really, and he seems very genuine. I don't know the man. He seems very genuine in terms of saying, I really didn't want to be here again. We really want to care for my mom at home. It's becoming too difficult for us to do it as a family. She needs long-term care and she needs long care in a day, almost 24 hours. And therefore, you know, if we could use the Fair Deal scheme to provide financial support for her to stay at home, then that's what we would choose. So that's why that's coming up. I speak about it regularly in terms of the law and how the Fair Deal scheme, how people are assessed, filling the forms. Very often it happens when people are in hospital and then there's a situation where they can't return home because their care needs are such that a family isn't perhaps living proximate. Perhaps the age demographic of their siblings is such that they can mind them, care for them, do an awful lot for them, but they're not in a situation to move them to their house or vice versa, move to theirs. So the Fair Deal comes in really quickly and people are quite overwhelmed at times in terms of understanding it. So talking about it earlier is really important. The other important thing I think this morning to highlight is talking about the fact that we are ageing, that we are an ageing society, and from 55, 60 on, we're stepping into that third act. So we should talk more about the areas that it impacts us that we can actually plan out for. So when people often say to me, well, what area of law do you do? I go, I do senior law, because from 55 on, we're headed into an area where there's different choices we may want to make. And also there's different challenges. Like one of the simple ones we forget is property. So as we get older, we pay off our mortgage, they come back to us and maybe they stay at home or they stay with the solicitor. It's such that we say, that's great. But what's happening now, and I see it quite a lot, is that we're living an awful lot longer. We're living in larger houses. We're living in houses where there's equity and perhaps there's a much higher cost to the house that we live in. So we don't talk enough about downsizing in Ireland. And I have consultations with people who come in and, you know, they want to begin talking about it. The challenge I see, excuse me, is that it's like in some ways it's like family law. You need to talk about it a bit before you get your head around it, because it's a psychological decision. Moving from the house you've been in, perhaps got first married in, had your children in. We should be talking more about the upside in relation to the selling up our bigger houses, moving down to have more cash available to us. And that's one of the issues that's arising now, particularly in inflation, for people who were in senior years going, gosh, if I could spend the equity that's in my house, I could have a different quality of life.
Yeah. But not being nostalgic, Sharon, sorry for cutting across, not being nostalgic, not being emotional about your property, not thinking to the past, think to the future.
Completely. And we're living longer. And it's not that everybody gets over a certain threshold and then we're all frail and we can't live life. We're actually living far longer. We are the generation of seniors that is more proactive about our longevity and our wellness than ever before. The statistics in the census show us that we're definitely living longer. And men and women are at a par in terms of how many we have over 65. Yeah. The 2022 census was fascinating in terms of what it tells us. But it clearly tells us that the ageing demographic is increasing, and it tells us in the West and the Northwest we are the areas with the highest ageing demographic. So we need to start talking about this more so we can be proactive. What's the challenge at the moment if you are selling your house? One, there perhaps aren't too many to buy. In terms of selling your house, you're at a high point of the market, you're going to get good value back, but perhaps you're paying what you would see as an overvaluation of what you're going to buy. That's where the conversations come in, perhaps going to different auctioneers, having different conversations about, well, what if I sold? What might I get? What might be out there? What way might I do it? I've had two couples that have sold a higher house and are now renting and happy to rent because they have their capital they're now using for an awful lot more travel. So these are sort of, I suppose, in a way, if you think about aging in some ways as a story, then what's the next part of your life going to be? What would you like? Why should we always be thinking as people in their 20s and 30s, 40s, in terms of what's your dream, what do you want to do? You know, why get to 60 and go, well, so that's it, I'm now retired, or 65? That brings me to the other area with ageing that I see on the increase, is that people, because they have to, lack of pensions and requirements for living, is that they're working longer. So the idea that people can be discriminated against if they're continuing to work between 50, you know, after 65 and up to 70, issues can arise in the workplace. So again, if you're older and in the workplace, it's important that you are aware of your rights and entitlements. And we have Equality Acts to support if their age is ageism. I think we are in this challenging period where perhaps employers aren't aware where they're breaching some of that, or perhaps some of the behaviours that present may seem as if they're ageist, but perhaps it's just personality wise more than the other. But it is important to be aware of that we do have discrimination laws, and they're being upheld beautifully by the determinators of the stories that are coming to them. So it is important that as we age, we become aware of that. And we're all very aware, I suppose I often talk about it, is that idea, the longer we live, we may be physically or mentally incapacitated. And our cognitive impairment could be the one thing that comes against us, even though physically we may be great. And it is important at this stage that we plan ahead for that. And we can do that with an enduring power of attorney. It's easy think, and I often say this, easy think we're all going to be dead, so let's make a will because we can't bring it with us. But while you're here, who would be the person to care for you or make financial decisions? For example, in Brendan Courtney's case, you know, let's say stepping in to mind your mom. If you have a load of other siblings that go, well, I don't want you making that decision, or no, you can't transfer that to pay for that. Well, then while you're well and able, you know, and I would say from 50, 55 on, this is a consideration, is to put an enduring power of attorney in place so that there's clarity amongst the children, perhaps if you've more than one, as to who would be the person making those decisions or making them between them, or what are your wishes. What's very important to stress, because there's very little education now that the Act is in, is that the Assisted Decision Making Capacity Act that we waited for so long is now in, and the Enduring Power of Attorney is now a DIY document. You do it at home, use your laptop. What's very real, I think, and important to mention is that a lot of seniors, and certainly, you know, I've hit my 50s and I don't love technology, but it's part of my life. So people 10 or 20 years ahead of me are not necessarily any more comfortable with technology. So therefore, what's important is that perhaps there's somebody in the family to help them. But for lawyers, what's important for us, you know, caring for seniors in law, is that we know the full story. Who are all the pieces in the story? Who is assisting somebody with something? What is the story behind what people are requesting to be done? So we are very protective of our senior clients, sometimes to the point that families get aggressive or reactive back at the solicitor when we do inquire and we do ask the story, to understand that vulnerable people, because as they get older, particularly into their 80s and 90s, they get quieter, they get a little bit more subservient, they put up with perhaps what's not great. Mm-hmm. So therefore, as lawyers, when some of these issues come to us, then we spend a lot of time with the senior in understanding what's the circumstances. We're not driven by the family, we're driven more by the senior, or we drive the idea of what's the story to support the senior. So the enduring power of attorney, although it's a do-it-yourself document now, there are a lot of challenges for lawyers around it, where lawyers will have to spend at least an hour with somebody as to who's the attorney, why did you pick them, and understand what the circumstances are, because before we would have normally done it as part of the process. Now, I suppose, in a way, we can be involved in part of the process. So there's a good side, is that it's probably half the price it used to be, because we're only limited in terms of where we're involved.
Yes.
But it's definitely important for people to consider it, and it may take one or two conversations for people to attend to understand what it is, because although there's a lot of information online, there's a lot.
Are older people, are they reluctant to, and they don't like, some people don't like fuss, they don't like the attention either. Is it difficult to get an older person to come in and talk to a solicitor, and might they bring a family member for support?
Yes. So there's a couple of things that come to mind in that. So yes, it is more difficult for older people to come in, because generally they may not be the person making the call. So the issue that arises here is that sometimes the call may be made by a family member. What arises for those of us working with seniors is that we make sure to meet the senior on their own without the family member. We may have been given the heads up as to what the person may be considering doing. But it's very important, regardless of somebody ringing me to say Johnny wants to give his farm to his daughter Mary, is that I'm meeting Johnny and I'm having the conversation with Johnny.
With him, directly.
And there's a particular style, I suppose. It's not your typical lawyer in questioning, because you are supporting somebody, so it's a chat. Very often it can be a situation that attending with somebody either at a nursing home or at home is more appropriate, because they may be more relaxed. Older people, as you know, don't want to be any trouble to anybody. So they can be more intimidated coming into an office to meet a lawyer. It's a bit like going into the confessional box sometimes. That back in those days, you know, if somebody's 80 or 70, is that there was another form of reverence that went with going into the church, not dissimilar going to a lawyer's, is that it can be a frightening place, or perceived as being. So I think it is important to stress that it is the older person we're taking instructions from. There can be family conversations. And this is an interesting term. When I say, a lot of listeners today may be children of aging parents. And it's funny, I didn't conceive of that term. It was clients coming into me that I had been in school with, coming in to talk and prepare with their parents for what was going ahead. Is that now is a term I use often to say, if you're listening this morning and you're a child of an aging parent, you have somebody in their 70s or into their 80s, then there's practical steps you can do to begin to understand what's going to come down the tracks. No more than we would do if we're planning to have a family. We think about this. This is no different within families as to another stage within families, where perhaps at times there's a bigger burden that falls on children of aging parents before they even realise it.
Yes.
And then people then are looking for information. What do I do? What do I put in place? You know, there's an illness coming down the way. How can we provide for it in advance? So it's important that this isn't just a senior topic. It is about families, but it's very important for families to know at the end of the day, the lawyer is the person who's protecting the older person to make sure that that's what they want. Particularly with the new Capacity Act, the onus is on us to have the conversations with seniors in relation to, well, what's their capacity? You know, do they have full capacity or limited capacity? Do they need somebody to make decisions with them? I attended with somebody there recently who is in a nursing home and their capacity is limited, but they do have capacity up to a certain point and make some decisions financially. Perhaps not every decision in relation to all the financial assets they might have. That's the important information we need to work with. What does the person themselves want? And then what is it that we can put in place to support them, and equally so the family understand what part they play in it. Not necessarily as the controllers of deciding what should happen, mammy and daddy's assets, even if the Fair Deal scheme is out ahead. What is that? What supports mammy and daddy? So I go back to Brendan Courtney. I loved the fact that this morning in one of his interviews, he referred to the fact that, you know, my parents' assets, they're Middle Ireland, they worked all their life to have a house, come from a council house, now they have an asset that we should be able to use for their care. He wasn't talking about their assets being made available and retained so that they, the family, would have it after they're gone, because if they go into nursing home, they don't need their house, and therefore sure, we'll get it after they pass. What I really loved was the care that came across in terms of saying their asset should be used for their care and welfare. Equally, we talked about that earlier, your asset can be used for your lifestyle, what you should wish to have for you, and that's the important conversation.
So looking ahead, realising that these issues will arise down the road if you have ageing parents, deal with it now rather than or at least prepare for it now rather than deal with any potential hassle down the road. Does it happen, Sharon, as well, that if you have a family, ageing parents, they decide to downsize, the family realise, well, this is our inheritance, is there often a conflict there? We know it's the parents' business, they should do what they want to do. Does that arise?
I mean, I'm glad you brought it up and I didn't. But yes, it can. It can particularly arise with the enduring power of attorney. I've had it in the past where, you know, people have enduring powers of attorney in place. They've nominated somebody and then there's suspicion, perhaps by siblings, as to how much money is being spent on parents by one person, particularly if that person perhaps is more well off than one of the other siblings, going, well, they're spending, and they seem to be spending very frivolously, and people don't intend to do it. But actually what does come up is the sibling rivalry, some of the old trauma between the siblings from maybe the family dynamic, and sometimes there are toxic families where the issues that arise are nothing really to do with the parents. It's relationships perhaps between parent and children, where parent and children don't get on, but also between siblings themselves. So that's why I say to people, out ahead of when you get older and you don't begin to speak for yourself, think about this now. It wasn't the done thing. It's new, and it's okay to understand that it's new. And equally so for families listening, be very aware how your own angst plays out and comes up in some of this in terms of putting additional pressure, perhaps duress, on parents, because that's the fastest growing area in terms of senior law. The pressure and duress that people are under in terms of decisions they're being told to make or how to make, or influences that come not just from children, but perhaps from siblings or people wanting things to be the way they want them. People should be out ahead of that much earlier in terms of talk. And it's very difficult. So it can very often happen that people are saying, look, I mean to come into you, but I actually am putting, and it's fun, as I walked past walking down one of the streets this morning, I met somebody who's threatening to come in, and that's exactly what they said, is just to go, I know, I keep putting it off. It's procrastination, because none of us wants to make difficult decisions. I think in terms of going into your solicitor, certainly when people are coming to me, I know there's a process, a bit like family law. It very often takes people a couple of conversations to go, actually, it's the right decision. Yeah. It's not. You don't wake up one morning and pull the plug and say that we're there. And what's also interesting is ageing, is that the divorce rates are on the increase. People over 50 are making more decisions to choose to go it alone, because decision-making capacity, now the divorce is in. It's interesting. Yeah. Our whole society is changing as we get older. It's as if we're getting more mature, Pat.
I wonder. We have to keep all that in mind. And there's so much in that, Sharon, and we could talk for an hour. But thank you very much for your time this morning. A lot of very important information in there. Sharon Cahir from Cahir and Company Solicitor, thank you very much indeed for coming in this morning.